I know I'm inspired now. Jimmy, didn't Jimmy get up here and look like he lost a bet? It's like, it ain't that bad. That was great, Jimmy. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Happy Father's Day once again. We're going to take this time to really just think about our Father who's in heaven. And one of the things, I'm sorry, I forgot something over here. I was thinking about, as we've been talking about being in the presence of God, that sometimes we forget that the most obvious sign that we're in the presence of God is when we actually look at ourselves in the mirror. I was looking back at some of the, one of the things I love about Facebook is if you log in, it'll show you memories. And it'll go back however many years, and it'll show a post that you posted on this day 5 years ago or something like that. And there was this one that my wife, she posted, and it was me and my kids from, like, I think it was a couple years ago, we were down at the beach. And what was interesting about it was I was looking at the picture, and I remembered another picture from when I was young. And I look like my dad, you know? And sometimes when we grow up and we think about the things that, and I heard someone saying this yesterday, how, it, you know, in the Bible, it talks about how as fathers, we want to leave our children an inheritance. We want to leave something for the next generation. And we can almost forget that that inheritance isn't just financial. It's not just making sure to leave them money or whatever, but sometimes leaving them inheritance are other things that don't necessarily, you can't count it up as dollars and cents. It's oftentimes leaving them an inheritance, a wealth of a good name, a wealth of knowledge and memories, a wealth of stories to be able to share. And as we think about this and as we're going to look at today, I want us to think about being in the presence of God from the standpoint of being in the presence of our father, our daddy, as someone said. Because sometimes we can think of this God, and it's almost like he's really busy and he's got the whole universe to kind of balance out and juggle. And we forget that he's our dad, that he wants to spend time with us. And so the title of the sermon today is 23andMe. 23andMe. Anybody ever seen those commercials they got on TV now about 23andMe? They're advertising how you can go back and you can check out your DNA to see where your heritage is, where your family comes from. You can trace it back. And I want us to think about that, like, what exactly are we made of? But before we do that, I want to ask the question, what's the best gift you've ever given your father for Father's Day? You know, I mean, I know it's easy, you know, we go down here to, you know, Boscov's or something, and, you know, we find a tie. I have a few ties. Fortunately, we've transitioned away from the ties, and the kids are coming up with more creative things, you know. I wouldn't mind if one of these Father's Days I come out and I see this Hellcat with the big happy Father's Day. I know it's not going to happen. I know it's not going to happen. But if it could, this would be the type of Father's Day gift that we would really want, right? Because, you know, I've seen guys, I have a buddy of mine who, he played in the NFL, and I remember, I think it was his second or third year, he was still working on his rookie contract, but he bought his mother a house for Mother's Day. And I'm thinking, man, I wonder what his father's going to get, right? You know, like he pretty much spent all the signing bonus on the house, you know? But you think, what's the best gift you've ever given? Or even as fathers, what's the best gift you've ever gotten, you know? I find this to be kind of interesting because I read this and I laughed good off of this because this is my life. It says a child, it says children see their dad. It says, oh, there's a sleeping dad. Let's go ask it questions, you know, because that's what happens. Fathers, we just want that few minutes to rest. And this is fatherhood, right? This is what we do as dads. This one is good. He says, get your dad what he really wants his Father's Day by turning off the lights when you leave the room. Us fathers, we're really simple, you know? Just don't quite have the thermostat on 73. Put it on 75, you know? Like, turn the lights off. Stop running the water if you're not actually, like, about to get in the tub or about to brush your teeth. Little simple things, right? But when, in all seriousness, when we think about fatherhood and we think about who our Father is in heaven and spending time with him and being with him, being in his presence, oftentimes what we have to remember is the sacrifice that it takes to be a good father. And I want to look at a passage in 1 John chapter 4. I may have told you guys this before. This is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. But in 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7, it says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they live in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar, for whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister." We think about us as children of God, us being brothers and sisters. We see God and we know God and we acknowledge God and we know how real his presence is by how we treat one another, by how we love one another. You know, even in the very first part of it, I was doing a show yesterday, and we were talking about fatherhood and how they asked, what do you think of when you think of fatherhood? What's the first thing that stands out in your mind? And the first word that came to my mind was sacrifice. Because I'm able to better understand how God can love me, because I now have children of my own that I'm willing to sacrifice anything for. It says in the very beginning of this, in verse 8, where it says, he sent his Son to die. Like, think about the sacrifice that it would take. Think about what God was willing to give up so that he could have a relationship with you, his son or his daughter. God's willingness to sacrifice for his children is the single greatest display of love that any of us have ever seen. The willingness to give up something that, frankly, we don't deserve. It's not that we did anything. It's not that he owed it to us. But it's because he wants a relationship with us so bad. They asked a question. They said, you know, what were your thoughts of your dad? And we talked about this a little bit earlier, how everybody doesn't have great thoughts of their earthly father, their actual biological dad. And it could be for various different reasons. But one of the things that came to mind for me was I remember my dad and I, we were talking about this when he was here a couple months back, and he was saying, and my dad's not a very wordy person. I'm sure you guys figured that out. He doesn't talk a whole lot. But as he was talking to me, he said, you know, son, I think you're doing well, and I'm proud to see how you're progressing. And that was the first time I ever heard that from my dad. And think about how when we have our relationships with our fathers, our earthly fathers, or maybe those who didn't, sometimes it can be difficult to make sense of God's actual love for us. Your Father in heaven loves you so much. It can be difficult for us to reconcile that and make sense of that unless we understand the sacrifice that he was willing to make. Because nobody gives up their son just for anything. Nobody just says, I'm going to send my one and only son to die just for sport or just for some trivial matter. He did it because of you. He did that because of me. And, you know, I was thinking about this last night. I was watching this this movie. It's one of my, I like this movie. It's a movie called John Q. Anybody ever seen this? This movie, it was a story based in Chicago, and Denzel Washington starred in the movie. It was a movie where his son had an enlarged heart, and he was going to die. And so he found that his insurance had been changed, and it no longer covered the procedure. They didn't have the money to pay for it cash because it was $250,000 for the procedure. The hospital was unwilling to work with them, and his wife says, do something. You always say you're going to do something. No, you better do something. And she hangs up the phone. And he makes it up in his mind that he's just going to lock down the emergency room. He's going to take the person who was played by John Wood. He's going to take him hostage and force him to perform this surgery where he's going to give his son a heart transplant. And it was interesting because it wasn't until later on in the movie that it became clear what his thought process and his plan was. He said, my son already has a heart three times its normal size, so you're going to take my heart and you're going to give it to him. And he says, well, you know, we can't just do that. How can you do it? He said, because I'm going to kill myself. I'm actually going to kill myself. And so he takes his gun. The point is, I mean, it's Denzel, it's Hollywood. We know that didn't happen. It was making the larger point about healthcare in this country. But as I'm watching this movie, I know it's fiction and I know it's Hollywood. And I know that this didn't really happen in these terms. But I could also understand. I could also understand what it would be like, because I can imagine, well, what if that were William, or what if that were Kendall? And I say, you know what, I'd have to wrestle with it. I'm sure it'd be a long walk to the hospital if I'm walking down the street here, headed down here to Bay Health. But as you're walking, as you're processing, I'm thinking of how much I love my children as a dad. And to think that God loves me even more than that. Let's look over in Luke chapter 15, another very familiar passage, Luke chapter 15, and we'll start in verse 17, where it says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. You see, this father, as Jesus is telling a story, this father, it didn't matter what was done in the past. It didn't matter what had happened. He was just grateful that his son was there now. He was just grateful to have a relationship with his father, with his son now. He wanted that bond. He wanted to be able to wrap his arms around him. He ran to him. He didn't care what anybody thought. He didn't care if anybody judged him, whether or not, well, why would you take him back after what he did? He squandered all that money. You gave him that money. Or, well, this is unbecoming of a man of your stature to be running out to greet him. Didn't matter. None of those things matter when it comes to your children, when you're a great father. And we see this through God and how our father is interested in that most important thing. And we think about what is most important. What is most important about our relationship with God? It's that we have one. I think about how my kids do this thing now where they, when they make a mistake, I've kind of learned how to read their faces now. And so I know the magnitude of the mistake. If it's too big, Kendall won't even show up. She'll just like hide, right? And she'll just kind of, you know, tense up. Or she'll cry, like, as soon as, like, I'll say, she'll walk up to me looking sad, what is it? And she'll just start crying. And I'm thinking, you haven't even told me what you did yet, you know? But I know my children. I understand my children. I know them well enough, even in their young age, because my children are just like me. I remember what it was to be a kid. I remember how I used to feel when I would approach my dad or my mom. And sometimes we forget that God understands. It's not that it's acceptable that we go out and we sin against him. It's not that it's okay, but that's not the end. That's not where the relationship stops. God is not a God who says, okay, well, you know what? You messed up. Okay, I'm done with you. God, we see throughout the scriptures how he constantly, at every turn, is trying to make an overture, a pass, a plea for us to be in relationship with him. When we are ready to come to him, he's ready to receive us. That's the father that we have. That is the person, you know, it's interesting. I was thinking of how there's a passage where it talks about how God knew us while we were being knitted in the womb. And I remember I used to think, huh, that's interesting. So he knew I was going to do this, huh? Or he knew that car was going. No, it's kind of like me. I remember when my wife was pregnant, and I knew the plans I had for my son, for my daughter. I knew what I wanted them to feel like as children. I knew the protection I wanted to give them. I knew the life I wanted to be able to give to them. In the same way, we have a God. He knows each one of us individually. He knows what he wants for us. But more than anything, he wants us to come to him. He wants us to come close to him. He wants us to be in a relationship with him. And so that I can get to my nap as soon as possible, I want to close here with a few questions. And I want to really think about these, because as we go about our day, and we think about the fathers that we are in some cases, the fathers that we are striving to be continually. You know, one of the things I had mentioned to a gentleman yesterday was that, and I said this earlier in Sunday school, sometimes we forget that being a father doesn't end when the child turns 18 and goes off to college or goes off to the service or something. It's funny, I just looked over here, I see a couple of people nodding because you have adult children that still come by looking in the refrigerator or, you know, asking for a couple bucks, you know. It's like technically you're not actually a child anymore once you start paying for the dinner. You know, once you start buying me a full set of tires, then you're emancipated and you're on your own, right? But I was saying, because he was going through so much and he was teary-eyed, he was hurt because he's no longer with his wife and they're divorced. And so they're trying to work out this co-parenting thing. He wants to be in his daughter's life and he wants to retaliate. He wants to say all these things that he didn't think would be helpful. And I said, well, you don't, because you're going to be this child's father even when they're grown. Even when you no longer have any decisions to make about their life and how they live, you're still going to be their father. My mother is still my mother. My father is still my father. And I'm 42 years old. Sometimes we forget that when God is working in our lives, when he's challenging us, when he's putting us through stuff, he's not just doing it for the moment. Sometimes in the moment we can see the lesson, but we have to remember God wants us to have a relationship with him that continues on forever. He's not just interested in right now. He's not just interested in giving you what you want or responding to you. You said, well, I've been talking to him, I've been praying, and I want these things, and I'm asking him these questions, and why isn't he responding in the way or in the time that I want him to? And it's because we sometimes forget that God is going to continue to be our father even through our most current crisis or situation. A few questions here. Do I recognize the DNA that makes me just like my father? Do I deny it or have I accepted it? And we're going to look at this a little bit next week in 2 Timothy. But the question is, do I acknowledge and am I aware, kind of like when I look in the mirror or I see a picture and I see my dad. I think about this every time I see Matthew, because every time I see Matthew grow, the older he gets, I'm thinking, oh, man, you really got a future ahead of you, because I've seen your dad. I know what your dad looks like, and he looks just like his dad. You know, sometimes we forget that same DNA, that's what the Holy Spirit does. Sometimes we can forget that we're just like him. Even in that passage that we read in 1 John chapter 4, where it says, in this world, we are like Jesus. We're just like him. We are sons and daughters. But do we acknowledge that, or do we shy away from that? Do we hide from that? Are we afraid of that? Do we ignore it? Is it something that we're not comfortable with being just like God? Does the love that I have for people resemble the love that God has for those same people? What part of my life reflects that? You know, it says, how can you love your Father in heaven who you haven't seen if you can't love your brother or sister who you can? And, you know, this comes up a lot because, you know, I think about how, you know, and I've said this many times before, but it doesn't matter how much you say you love me if you mistreat my children. You mistreat my children, you have a problem with me and a problem with Charisse, and Charisse isn't as nice as I am. But you can't mistreat my children and say that you love me. Our love for God and how much we want to serve him and how much we respect him, how much we thank him for the blessings that we have, our sincerity shows up in our relationships with the people that we see in this room and the people that we are in contact with every single day. If we love God, is that reflected in our love for one another? In what way does the sacrifices of God show up in how you live? When considering all that God has given up, simply to make a relationship possible, How do you reciprocate? How do we reciprocate that sacrifice? You know, again, it's like we conceptually can understand how much God has given up. But sometimes we look at that, and I remember thinking how I would ask my dad for like $10 for something back when I was a kid, which was still a lot of money back then. And it would be like, he'd say, no, I'll give you $5. And I'm thinking, come on, Dad, you got plenty of money. What's $5 to you? And not realizing that now as an adult, as a parent, and seeing my kids, I'm thinking, you know what? Actually, I can just take for granted how much that God has. I can take for granted how much it is that God gives me, to the point where I can almost lose sight of all the sacrifice. It's kind of like I didn't get the job I wanted, the car I wanted. You know, I'm still not in the place in life that I want to be in. We've been talking about gratitude in Sunday school. Sometimes we can lose sight of the fact that we have a God who's given us so much. You know, I think about how growing up with my dad literally worked every single day. Didn't miss work. You know, I think about how I never experienced anything like what some of my friends even who went through, where we never needed food. We never struggled to pay the bills. And looking back on when I was a kid, thinking, wow, I missed so much that God, my father was protecting me from. And I think about how that relates to my relationship with God, and seeing my own kids now, how my kids don't even know the dangers that their mother and I protect them from. They don't realize just how beautiful and blessed their life is. They don't realize the sacrifices that we give up. I was sharing this also, how when I think of being a father, I think of what I call taking an L, just taking the loss. Because so often, you have to basically decide between yourself as a father and your children. And you know you're ready to be a father when you say, you know what? I'm willing to give up what I want to make sure that my kids have. And we think about, what is it that God actually gave up and sacrificed? Well, you know, we talk about it all the time. When Jesus is on the cross, think, he gave that up to have a relationship with you. Do you reciprocate that? Do you show reciprocity in kind by being willing to sacrifice for others, for your brothers and sisters? And finally, what gift do you plan to give God to say thank you? What can you give that would be special since everything is already his? You know, I was thinking how, and my wife and I, we joke about the difference between Father's Day and Mother's Day, and we don't get very competitive with it. But it was funny how I was saying how, you know, when it comes to Father's Day, my son actually told my wife at one point, I think it was last year, like, well, we don't really know what to get Daddy, because I think he pretty much is happy and he has everything he wants. And I'm thinking, no, son, there's still more stuff. You haven't even been down some of those aisles in Home Depot and Lowe's. Like, you haven't even looked in Harbor Freight. I know you didn't go to Best Buy, because there's plenty of stuff that you could get. But in their mind, they're thinking, my dad has everything. What can we possibly give him? And what's so important is that we give something, not just the most expensive, not the biggest, not the newest, but something that's special. What can you give God, your Father in heaven, that would be special? Not just something that would wow and it's like, oh, well, look at the receipt, God. But what would be special? Something that would mean something to him. Maybe even something that only you and your Father in heaven would truly understand. Is it possible that maybe it's you need to give your life to him? If you're in that situation, what better day than Father's Day to give your life to God? To say, I want to be in a relationship with you. Or maybe God's that father that because you didn't quite understand, and you're looking at it just like here where we see this son who had walked away. Maybe you need to come back. Maybe you need to come back and restore that relationship with God, with your father. If that's you today, then make that happen. He's waiting for it. And he's going to run to you and embrace you and love you the exact same way that this father did here. But what is it that you can give God today? What is it that you can commit to giving God today that would be special? If there's anything that you would like the church to pray for, if you'd like to give your life to God, if you'd like to find out what it means to do that, we ask that you come forward as we stand and sing our song.